Good morning, church. Am I on? Yeah, I'm on. Good morning. God bless. I have the privilege, the honor to finish the last sermon for the Baggage series. Kelvin contacted me. He's putting me, he says, I'm using you as the closer for all the series. So I hope it's true. I mean, he texted me that. I got proof. So I'm going to hold him to that. But what a privilege and honor for me to be here today and kind of close this off for you. The subject that we're going to be talking about today is a one that all human beings have experienced, and sometime in your life you will experience it, and it's fear. I'm going to talk about the baggage known as fear. So I decided to call my sermon Held, Courage in the Grip of God. Held, courage in the grip of God, right? So we're going to talk about fear. It was interesting because the first recorded words ever in the Bible of a human being speaking was Adam. And it was in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 23. And he says, and listen to this, because this was words of joy. He says, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Yeah, joy, right? And now the second time recorded for any human being was in Genesis, the third chapter. It was Adam again, and what he said was, "I was afraid." Right? Now, please don't associate those two together, right? Because you'd be wrong, right? What it is the reason why he's afraid, it was because of sin. And all of a sudden, now fear, right? So it went from joy in the beginning of the Bible to fear because of sin. Because of sin, we know fear has entered into the world. This new baggage that we're talking about, that we're carrying, fear has now entered the world because of sin, right? And now we're dealing with it. There's not one human being that does not deal with fear. It is baggage. If you think about it, fear weighs us down. Fear, it limits us. Fear, we feel exhausted with our fears. And I'm going to be honest, and I'm a therapist, Veterans Court, and I'm always helping clients to work through their fears. But I have, in many times in my life, have been paralyzed by fear. I think about the very first time. Matter of fact, I've been preaching and teaching for decades, right? And I remember my first sermon. Man, I couldn't even sleep. I was terrified. My first big sermon. I didn't sleep all night. And I just kept having these what ifs. What ifs? What if I mess up? What if I don't connect? What if? What if? What if? You know? And it felt like it was like I was carrying a suitcase with stones in it. And what about you in your life? Right? You ever felt you're up at night, 3 a.m. in the morning? Right? And you're just ruminating on worries, concerns, problems. And you can't sleep, right? You're worried about your job. You're worried about school. You're worried about your health or your loved one's health. You're worried about your children. You're worried about your significant other. You're worried about the future, right? We just got, and it feels so heavy. It's like we got the world on our shoulders, right? This fear, it's overwhelming to us. Well, what do we do with fear? This thing that exhausts us. Do we just ignore it? Or do we become braver? Is that what we do? Well, God today has a message for you, and it's a beautiful message, and we're going to get it from Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verse 10. That's going to be our main text. But before we go there, let's start with a word of prayer. So, Father, we come carrying different kinds of fears with us. Some of us need courage, some of us need peace, Lord, but we pray that you speak through your word today and remind us that you are near, that you are strong, and that you are holding us up, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things, amen. All right, so right, it's do not fear. We're told do not fear, the very first words that we're going to be told. So turn to Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verse 10. And I want us to read this together. So God's first words are pretty simple, straightforward, but they're powerful. They're very powerful. So in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed." Now hold it. We're going to read the rest later on of that, because I'm going to break it down, the original Hebrew. I'm going to break all this down. So right off the bat, God is saying to his people. Now remember, during this time, his people were surrounded by enemies. They had some serious fears and worries and concerns, right? And here God is saying, do not fear. Do not fear. Now, I want to, a lot of times people preach this as a command. Do not fear, that God is saying, do not fear. And really, it's not. In its contents, it's really coming from a place of authority. So what do I mean by that? It's kind of like, think of it like a king in those days. A king saying to you, hey, I got your back. Don't worry. That's what it's more like. Here, God is saying, hey, don't worry, right? I'm God. I got your back. I'm the creator of the universe, right? So it's not like, hey, don't worry. Hey, don't worry. You better stop worrying. It's not like that, right? This is an interesting part, that part that says, do not be dismayed. I like the original Hebrew better, and some of you have some really good translations, but that really means don't look around and panic. The original Hebrew is don't look around and panic. So God is saying, hey, stop looking around. Stop worrying about all these other things, right? Some of your translations might say, do not look anxiously about you, correct? Right? And that's even more accurate. Because we have a tendency, that's what fear does. Fear distracts you from what is really important. Fear distracts you from God and his purpose. That's what it does to us. It distracts us. What we do is we ruminate on our worries. We don't think about anything else except our worries, right? What we do is fears, they magnify our worries and they minimize God's presence. Did you hear that? That's what worries do. They magnify our concerns and our worries, right? And then what happens is we minimize the presence of God. So we got to be very careful when it comes to fear, because fear can be very dangerous to the Christian. So I wrote a couple of things, even as a therapist, what fear does to us, and especially as a Christian, I'm going to kind of apply them as a Christian. So first, it distorts the truth, right? And Satan's going to use this tool of fear. Right? He's going to distort the truth, the real truth, the things that we believe about ourselves, about other people, and even about God. That's what fear does. It distorts the truth, right? It whispers in our ears. It whispers things like, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough, good-looking enough, right? You're never going to be happy. You're always going to be alone. This is what fear does. And we keep telling ourselves this. So fear, it distorts truth, because a lot of that is false. It also steals our joy, right? It makes us believe that we're like the only people who go through these things. It steals our joy. Even during times where there's joy, even when we have benefits in our lives, we can't focus on that because all we do is focus on the negative. So we can't even enjoy life because after all I'm looking at is the problems of life. So I can't enjoy my family. I can't enjoy my wife. I can't enjoy my job. I can't enjoy, because all I'm focused on is maybe my bills or my health or my whatever. So we have to be careful because it steals our joy and our peace. It also isolates us. It makes us believe that we're the only ones going through that struggle, when in reality, there's nothing new under the sun, Scripture tells us. Whatever you're going through, somebody has gone through it, whether it's physical illness, it's loss of family, whatever it is, there's nothing new under the sun. So Satan wants us to believe that we should isolate ourselves because no one will understand. Why should I express this to people? Because no one's going to understand. I'm just going to isolate myself. I'm going to dwell on this. I'm going to ruminate on this. When this is the furthest thing we should do in reality. And then it paralyzes obedience. This is a fact. Fear will paralyze you. So when God says to go or to come or to do this or I need you here, we say no. Because I'm just so focused on this negative thing here. I ain't got time for my family because I got this problem here. I can't be successful in my job. I can't really, because I got this problem, because I have this health issue. It paralyzes obedience. We have to be careful because fear, if it's unchecked, what it becomes, it becomes a spiritual thief. It robs us of spirituality, brothers and sisters. Fear is costly. You see, Satan is going to use fear to cause you to miss very important aspects of your life. I'll give you an example. My wife allowed me to share this, Michelle, my wonderful wife right there. Michelle, many of you might not know, she's terrified of heights. So as a therapist, it's called acrophobia, right? She's terrified of heights. I mean, Michelle gets to the point where she can't even go on escalators or glass elevators. It traumatizes. She gets stressed from that. So I thought several years ago, I thought it was a great idea to give her a wonderful Christmas gift. I got her a hot air balloon ride, 2,000 feet in the air, no parachute, no safety belt. And of course, she looked at it when she opened it up and she says, "Are you serious? Really, Anthony?" And I said, "Sweetie, don't worry. I'm a therapist. I got you back. Trust me. You can't make this up." That's why I see her right there. She's like, yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing was she was terrified, but guess what? She didn't allow the fear, even though she had fear, she didn't allow it to stop her. She went. She went on it, right? Because remember, fear is trying to prevent, try to hide something from you, experiences in life that are joyful. Because after all, believe it or not, Michelle loved it. And it opened up the doorway to her climbing a mountain, a volcano in Hawaii and in Greece, and to climb a mountain in Ireland, and to fly in helicopters, even with open window helicopters. And she went through her fear, courage. It didn't take away the fear, but guess what? It revealed something beautiful. The experiences that she had were beautiful, and Satan was trying to take that away. And that's what Satan does. He wants to hide the joys of the world through fear. Through fear. That's what he does. And my wife forgives me for that, but it was a beautiful experience, I believe, right? So really, courage, what courage does, it opens doors that Satan is trying to lock in your life. That's what courage does. And it's not about never feeling fear. You will. Trust me, I'm a therapist. You're gonna feel it. But it's about choosing to go through it despite the fear. That's courage. And that's what God is calling us. Do not fear. Don't look around. Don't. Right? So I have I always like the Psalms. I believe, you know, the Psalms that David wrote. Some of these are the most beautiful. So this is what David is saying to us in Psalms 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. That's it. That's the key. That's the answer. So here's my question to you. I'm going to have a reflection question for every point that I have. What fear has been shaping your decisions more than your faith? Have you been allowing fear to shape your decisions in life more than your faith? And what would it look like if you surrendered that to God today? What would that look like? Right? So God doesn't just tell us not to fear, right? What he does is he says, hey, he gives you a reason not to. He says, because I'm near you. And that's the next part. So let's look at that part there. So God is going to present, right? God's presence fights our fears. So do not fear, back to Isaiah 41:10, for I am with you. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Now listen, the presence of God calms us, right? Him accompanying us, the creator of the universe, when we know that he is truly with us, there's something comforting about that, right? When someone who is powerful is with us, it's comforting. When we know that somebody in authority is with us, it's comforting to us. So even though fear tells us, hey, you're alone, God is whispering, saying, hey, no, you're not. I'm with you. Your worries, the problems that you're going through life, guess what? You know, you don't have to go through them alone. You're not by yourself. Now, I do want to say his presence doesn't remove these problems all the time, but it redefines them. Did you hear what I said? He may not take the problems away from your life, but with him by your side, it redefines those things, right? It puts them in its proper perspective, those worries, those concerns. It's kind of like, this is a story that I like to share with you, right? God's presence. There's a story that goes like this. This is a cute little story. All right. So a mother asked her little son, her boy, to go out and get her gardening tools that she left out in the backyard. The problem was the little boy is afraid of darkness. He was afraid of the night, and it was nighttime, and it was super dark outside. And he looked outside, and he saw all the darkness and the shadows. And he said to his mother, no way, I'm not going to get your gardening tools. No way. But the mother wanted to reassure him. She wanted him to have courage. So she tells him, she says, don't worry. Go outside. You're not going to be alone. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. He's going to be with you. So the little boy thought about it. He knows his mother doesn't lie to him. So he goes. He opens up the backyard door. He peers outside in the darkness. He says, hey, Jesus, if you're out there, can you bring in my mother's gardening tools? Now, I know some of us think that's weak faith. But that's not. That's bold faith. That's the faith we need. You see, because, yeah, his fear of the darkness didn't go away. But what? He believed that Jesus was there, and he said, hey, you take this load off my back. That's bold faith. If only we had faith like that. You know what, God, you take care of this. I know you're with me. I know you're with me, and you can handle it. I may not, but you could. Right? That's bold faith. Here's another Psalms. I love this. Psalms 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, we know this one, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. This verse shows that God's presence is sustaining in the darkest of places. God will sustain you in the darkest places you go to in this through this life. That's a fact. You know, this verse, we always use this particular verse, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, but I want to break this down. I want you to understand fully when Paul wrote this to Timothy, young Timothy, right, the leader in Ephesus who was leading this is what was going on during this time. When Paul wrote this, he was in prison again, but this prison was a hole in the ground according to history, and he was facing his execution. This was the last book that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote, and then he was executed, right? And he's writing to Timothy because Timothy is leading the church in Ephesus. Now, this is during Nero, and Nero burnt down Rome already, and he blamed it on the Christians. And so the streets of Rome were lined up with crucifixions of Christians. This was during the time when they were feeding Christians already in the Colosseum. This is what when Paul wrote this. And look what he wrote. And this is, it gives it more of an impact when we understand under what circumstances he was writing this. And look what Paul writes to Timothy. For God has not given us, himself and Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So Paul is saying, you got the Spirit of God with you. He's referring to the Holy Spirit here. And that Holy Spirit is in you too, brothers and sisters. Right? The Holy Spirit that Scripture says created the universe. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture tells us. That's the same Spirit in you. In me. That's the Spirit. That's not a spirit of fear, but of power, of sound mind. And that's what Paul is writing there. And this is, goes even further, and this is why the second part of that, in Isaiah 41:10, look at this part right there. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Now, I like the Hebrew translation. It really means your God I am. Your God I am. Your God, your God. I am your God. This is powerful. This is the way this is written. This is called a Hebrew poetic structure. So what it is covenant talk. It's a promise that God is making to you. He says, your God, I am. It's personalized. It's referencing one person, the way it's written. So think about that. Your God, I am. Your God, I am. Think of the power of that. And that's what God is. He's your God, and it's personal. It's personal. Do you know that God is your personal God? We should not fear anything. He's my God, and he's with me. Amen? Think about that. God's greatness is beyond measure. Would you agree? His power created this universe, right? Think about his wisdom. He knows every moment, past, present, future. I mean, this is the God, right? And his love reaches deeper than any of your worries and needs. That's a fact. That's a fact. You know why Jesus experienced the ultimate fear? Because he did. It was on the cross. Do you remember when he called out on the cross? What did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? You know why? Because God had to exit and separate. That was the very first time that God separated himself, because Jesus had to take all the sins of the world on himself. Now think about this. Brothers and sisters, why did Jesus die on the cross? And you know what we do? Most of the time we just focus on because of the forgiveness of sin. Yes, ultimately it's forgiveness of sin, but that is tied into, so you will never ever have to be alone, that you could be with God. So Jesus experienced the ultimate fear, being the separation of God, so that way you never have to experience that. That's why Jesus died. Yes, sin. We needed the sins to be washed away so we can be with God. That's what it is. So we can be with God. Jesus died. That's how powerful it is. That's how much God loves you and he cares about you and he wants to be with you. That's beautiful. Amen? So here's my reflection question for each point. Where in your life do you feel alone? And how might it change your perspective to truly believe that God is already there with you? Think about that. If you truly believe that, think about how you would change, how you would not feel alone, no matter what you're going through. Right? So God's presence doesn't just comforts us, it also empowers us. And that's the next thing I want us to read in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. So God, not only is he going to be with you, not only is he in you, right? Not only is he your God, but he's going to strengthen you. Not only does he walk with you, but he's going to strengthen. Those times when you need strength, those times when you don't have the strength, those times when you can't, because fear is going to whisper in your ear, you can't do this. And God says, yes, you can't, because I'm going to help you. Yes, you can't, because I'm going to help you. That's power. God's strength becomes our strength. And this is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he wrote this. Because remember, when Paul wrote this, what was it? He had a thorn in his side. He had a problem that was impacting his life in a negative way, and he prayed to God three times to take it away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient. That's why he writes this, right? So, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that way Christ's power may rest on me. So, brothers and sisters, it's okay to admit if you're fearful. It's okay to say, hey, sometimes you ain't got the strength. It's okay to say that, because God is stronger, and God is going to give you strength. He's not going to leave you alone. He promises to give you strength to endure, to go through it. Think about Gideon, right? In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, Gideon, one of the judges, God comes to him, right? And what is he doing? He's hiding. He's in a wine press thrashing wheat. He's hiding because you don't thrash wheat in a wine press. But he was, because he was fearful, right, of all the people attacking his people. And what did God say? Hey, I want you to lead my people. And what does he say? No, but I'm of the least tribe, and I'm the least in the least tribe. Who am I? And what did God say to him? Did God rebuke him? No. What he says is, he says, I will give you strength. I will be with you. And he was able, with God's strength, he was able to free his people, right? Think of another great story is Elijah, the powerful prophet, performed so many miracles, called lightning from the sky, I mean fire from the sky, and killed the prophets of Baal. Do you remember that? And yet, when the queen Jezebel threatened his life, he was fearful, and he ran away. And he was depressed. It was overwhelming him. He was fearing for his life. And he went under a broom tree, right? The Jupiter tree. And he was exhausted. He was mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. You ever felt like that? Life sometimes. And what did God do? Did God rebuke him? No, he didn't. If you remember the story, he gave him rest. He fed him. And he strengthened him. Right? He sent an angel to take care of his needs. Now, he didn't take away what he had to face. He still had to go on his journey. But God was there to strengthen him, nourish him, and help him. And God will do the same for you, brothers and sisters. That's his promise, right? It's beautiful if you think about it. God will help us and strengthen us. Amen, right? So I want us to look at Psalms 46:1. Again, David, love it. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. You know what? Sometimes what the problem is, we try to do everything ourselves. And we don't tap into the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna fix this problem myself. When we have the creator of the universe on our side saying, I want to help you. I want to give you strength. But nah, I'd rather do it my way. And then we complain when we ain't got the strength no more. Right? Well, reflection question. What challenges feel too big for you right now, brothers and sisters? Which ones? And how could God's strength meet you in that weakness? Because he wants to. Amen? Now, sometimes the truth is our strength is not enough. Our courage has limits. Let's be honest about all that. So you know what happens when we're at that point, that breaking point? God's next promise. And it's beautiful. I think it's probably the most beautiful. When we discover that we don't have the strength anymore to hold on, he holds us up. Let's read that. God's grip never lets us go, brothers and sisters. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know what that means? That means that when God may not remove that fear, but guess what? He's going to hold you through it. That when you don't have the strength in life, you don't have it, you don't have the energy, the mental strength, the physical strength, the spiritual strength, guess what? He says, that's okay, because I'm going to carry you. My righteous right hand, you know what that means? My right, that means it's honest. He doesn't lie. He's holy. When he makes a promise, he's going to do it. My righteous right hand will lift you up and hold you through this event. What a promise. What a promise, brothers and sisters. So when you feel weak, God will carry you. And I experienced this personally, right? God's grip never lets go. No one wants, and the time that I heard this was when you hear those words that no one wants to ever hear. You have cancer. And I was in the doctor's office with my wife, Michelle, And he came in and he says, your biopsy came in and you have cancer. And my wife, my wonderful wife, started breaking down. She was crying, right? And I look at the doctor and I say to the doctor, how much is this gonna cost me? Now, I do wanna say Michelle did not appreciate that joke, and rightfully so. You can't make this up. I don't make none of this up. But the truth of the matter is, believe it or not, I want to say this. I'm not fearless. I'm not claiming being fearless. But I really, really have faith in God. Not me. I don't have faith in my capabilities. But I have faith in God. Right? And that's why. And I knew that through my treatment, I knew through this experience in life that I wasn't alone. I had Michelle, my wonderful wife, my kids, my daughter-in-law. I had the church, and I had God. I knew it. I believed it. And it was interesting because people everywhere me and Michelle went, my job, or if we were at the hospital, or even at church, many of you have said, Anthony, how do you stay positive? Like during this event in your life, but you're so positive and everything, and trust me, I'm not overly optimistic. I'm not. That's a misconception. I just truly believe that God is holding me. That's it. Because there were, even during the time of my treatment, there was days I didn't have the strength, the emotional strength, the physical strength. But God held me through it. He saw me through it. His promises are real, brothers and sisters. His promises are real. He may not take these events away from you, but he'll carry you through them. He'll give you the strength. Courage isn't about pretending that everything's fine, because it's not all, but that God is holding you up. That's it. That's where courage comes from. When we trust God, that's our strength. Again, Psalms 56, verse 3 to 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, God, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me when the creator of the universe has my back? Amen. So here's a reflection question, brothers and sisters. Where do you feel like you're barely holding on? And what would it mean to trust that God is still holding on to you? What would it be? So what did you learn today? What are the things? Hopefully you learned something today. Hopefully you learned that despite that fears are going to come and go, problems are going to be in your life, anxieties there and worries, guess what? God is with you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He is your God, your personal God. And he will hold you up those days you can't hold yourself up. Those are his promises, brothers and sisters. So I'm going to give you some applications. If you're struggling with fear today, these are things that you can do. As a therapist, I have my clients who struggle with anxiety do a lot of these things. Again, I apply God into it. So start with God, not fear. You know what? Stop worrying. Don't wake up in the morning. The first thing you do is worry. You know what you should do? Begin each day by reading Isaiah 41:10. This is a powerful scripture. It's a powerful promise from God. And then pray, God, remind me who you are. Remind me that you're with me. Remind me that you're going to give me strength and you're going to help me. Remind me that you're going to hold me the days I can't, right? And then practice stillness. This is the problem. Satan, he is smart. What he's going to do is he's going to make a lot of noise and confusion. He's going to have you ruminate on all your problems, right? So in stillness, that's where you're going to hear God, right? We all know Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am your God. Take 5-10 minutes a day. Sit down and just be with God. Feel his presence, right? and then speak courage into others. You know, who around you needs to know that they're not alone? There's something about speaking courage, you know, whether you're texting them, writing them, pray with them, meet with them, because it's contagious. When you see somebody with courage, no matter what they're going through, doesn't that encourages you? You're like, man, I want that, right? So do that. And this is the conclusion. Fear doesn't get the last word, brothers and sisters. You hear this? Fear does not get the last word in a Christian's life. Don't let it. So I would like, I always want you to understand certain things. His presence instead of panic, his strength instead of self-reliance, and his grip when you're slipping. This is what God offers all of us. So think about that when you're experiencing fear. So I would like all of us to read these promises that God has made when fear knocks on the door. And the reason why at the end of my sermon, I always have us repeat these promises that come from Scripture, these are from Scripture, what we just read in Isaiah 41, is this. I know I have my clients do words of affirmation out loud in the morning and before they go to bed, because we know there's something about speaking it. When we speak it, it comes alive in us, right? So this is why I would like all of us to read this out loud together as a congregation. We're going to start with God is with me. So ready? Here we go. God is with me. He is my God. God strengthens me. God helps me. And God holds me. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So this is it. What do I have to say? If you're carrying fears right now, brothers and sisters, God's saying, hey, lay them down here. Right? And it's not about laying them down because they're small. That's not what we're saying. It's because he's strong. Lay them down because he can carry them. Right? Even if you can't carry them, he can carry them. So if you're ready to leave your fears behind, brothers and sisters, we would like to pray with you. Right? If you're a Christian and you want to release some of that baggage of fear, to my left, I guess your right, we're going to have an elder there who's ready to pray with you. Right? Don't go alone. You're not alone. Don't isolate yourself. Whatever you're going through, don't isolate yourself. Let us pray for you. Let us love you. And if you're not a Christian, I'm going to be over here. I'm going to stand over here to my right, your left. And let me. And if you're not a Christian, you are definitely in a state carrying fears. Let me explain why. Because I can't imagine living in this world without God, without his support, without the Holy Spirit working in my life. I just can't imagine it. So come forward. Let us pray and love on you as we stand and sing. Amen.